Renkel had been so damn near the bone. I just found that out when I saw that finally caught up with this baby. We have no evidences, none whatever, after a day of hunting as to where or how. The secretary will want to tell you more at lunch tomorrow of how he's gone about it. We have been up and down the names and numbers of the possible next man, and I think you'll find at lunch tomorrow that everybody is quite starved, that it's Dean and Bob and I all think that your best bet is, in fact, Gilpatrick, and that maybe he's the...
He's out. Yeah, I couldn't name him at all. I can't name Gilpatrick.
You sure of that, Mr. President?
Yeah.
You...
Yeah, I'm not going to... I can't name him.
We have to go back to the boards. We have assumed that whatever might have been his political troubles before, any man leaving a very fat and fancy practice for the most dangerous job in the government would be get more cheers than groans.
No, I'll tell you what I'm about. I'm just pretty confident that it ought to be Taylor.
Well, we're for different reasons, we're all in varying ways, and for quite different reasons, Rusk and McNamara both think that would be a mistake.
I want to hear him out on it, but that's who I'd be for. I wouldn't name Gilpatrick. I like him and I'm for him, but I wouldn't send him that job. I think it'd just be Harry Carey, just be political suicide.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm astonished at your judgment. Well, we start it out again tomorrow.
Yeah.
What
are their objections to Taylor?
One, that he is physically weary.
Well, he'd be less weary there than he is here, running every goddamn day to every conference they got in the world.
He's got I don't know whether it's a bum ticker, but he's got a warning. And Rust feels that a second military man, and military men in the one and two spots, is a bad signal, both internationally and in some ways locally.
That's a military job, though.
Well, Bob would agree with you on that. Rust would not. And I would not, because I myself very much doubt that he has the sense of... I think you'd have a backward... lose ground, and it would be said that you lost it because of a militaristic process and a failure to understand the politics of it. The thing that worries me most, though, is simply that this is a man of ebbing energy. I just think it's a fact that he is. And I think the fact is you need a hell of a commander on that spot. I would rather put Westmoreland in charge of everything than send Max out. That's an acceptable solution from McNamara's point of view. Either of them is. He's perfectly willing. He, I think, feels as I do that Roz is first rate and that there is not a political vulnerability, but we defer, obviously, to your judgment on that.
Yeah, I may have my mind on Roz. I don't need anything on him. I just don't... I don't think that's the thing to do. I just think that would invite make a real partisan war out of it, and I don't want that to happen. And I think we've got to have somebody that's got great stature to avoid it. I don't think Alex Johnson, George Ball will do it.
The top of McNamara's list is McCloy. And I can certainly find out in the most discreet way whether he would go if you think it's worth doing.
Well, I think it's worth doing. I just have the feeling that the people of this country have more confidence in Taylor out there than any man that's going to be available to us that I've heard of. I don't believe they know McCloy enough. I believe the people of the world. I don't think they're going to think that Max Taylor is a LeMay. I don't think they look at him in that regard at all. They're going to look at him as a reasonable, fair, good man that has respect to everybody, and I think it's going to show it. We mean business without having to bluff and bluster a lot. I think it means we've got our best man that we put out there. And I've talked to three or four groups about it, and every person I talk to says the same thing, outside of our own little shop.
And
they're people that have had a lot of dealings with the different ones and have pretty good judgments on them. I'm going to have dinner with Fulbright tonight. I'm going to ask him what he thinks.
Well, then it's going to leak, but never mind.
You think so?
Decided within 24 hours. Well, no, I think he can keep his peace for a day or two. That's about all. And I think you'll have it decided in that length of time. No, I don't think quite that, Mr. President. He, unless he gets asked by some newspaper man, he fully trusts that kind of thing. I say that because it happened so many times in the last three or four years.
No, I don't want to discuss it with him.
I think he needs to be in the act. No, I think he'd probably do. I think he'd keep his mouth shut for you for the length of time you need. For the length of time you need, because you've got to decide this right away, anyhow.
Well, if I had to decide tonight, I want to hear them and hear everything they got to say. But I decided.
Well, I told you the essence of it both ways, I couldn't pass judgment on the politics of it. But it does surprise me that you're so negative on Roz on that.
I'm for Roz, but I'm just not for him on that place.
You're talking about the specific ground and specific place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And he just left, and he's gone up there, and now he's coming back. I'd rather have Vol than Roz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that Roz is no administrator.
No, I don't think that's right.
Well, McNamara told me. I asked him what his weakest point was, and he said administration.
Well, Bob would be a better judge, but I think his use of staff and I would have thought very well out without being direct. His handling of White House business, of the president's business, or of staff business for the NSC and all that was excellent when I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was alert, and he used his people, and he knew what he was saying. Well, that's the sum and substance of it. The other names and numbers aren't very interesting, I don't think, that people have thought up during the course of the day.
Who are they?
Well, people like George Woods, who you'd never pry loose from the bank and who's had no previous experience in the area, although he has a hell of a reputation. Gene Black, who's, again, got a great reputation, but I think is genuinely a tired man. Younger people... Fred Eaton, I don't think he would be up to it. He would have a certain Republican protective coloration. Howard Peterson up in the Philadelphia banking area, who again was Bob Patterson's junior, and again, a very respectable figure. I don't think he has quite the size we're looking for. Among the military, the only two that McNamara would recommend to you are either Taylor or Westmoreland. That's the up and down, the names that have been added that make much sense. I think I think the more I think of George Ball, the more I think you need him where he is more than you need him there, and that there are... I wouldn't be too worried about Bobby's wariness of him, because I don't think that's decisive. I think Bobby would cover that pretty well.
Mac, you know the way I feel about Taylor is this. I believe from what I've seen the 7 months I've been in here, that the most challenging and most dangerous military problem we have is out there. He's our top military man. He's respected in the world and here at home. And I'm not sure that the administration has as much respect on Vietnam as Taylor would have on Vietnam. I believe anything that his name signed to would have... carry some weight with nearly anyone. If Westmoreland's as good as they say he is, well, maybe Westmoreland can help him if he's got any problem with his age. But I don't think he would if he's sitting there in a hotel.
I don't think anyone can argue with you that the immediate prestige and safety impact of this is better than any other single appointment you can make. On the real merits, I would say this is a tired man with an uncertain health problem, and I myself do not believe that in fact he has ever understood that war. I think this is just the painful truth.
Well, it's a good place for him to get to understand it then.
Well, Mr. President, men at 62 and a half who are tired are not an easy bet for that. I think what you're getting is great protection and no harm.
You're bringing one over here for an hour and a half, and the next week it's 82.
I don't describe the ages of foreigners, Mr. President, and I certainly don't want to sound as if only people your age and under are worth having. But I'm only describing the way all the people who've watched him operate have been worried about how quickly he tires. Yeah, this is just a fact.
Well, I think one of the reasons is that they run him. I can't run. When I go to this damn Los Angeles thing, I'll be constipated. I'll skip 3 hours. I'll get up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we haven't thought of sending you, Mr. President, but that's a perfect solution.
No, but I'm just telling you, one of the problems with his is just traveling all the time. Every time I hear from him, he's on a tour.
I'll grant you that.
He's touring.
Yeah.
And, that'll kill anybody, a man that just travels all the time. And I believe he'll be easier there than he will fighting with LeMay here.
Well, I'll tell you this, that of course, if this is where your mind settles, it can be done, and we will, then it can, the basic solution then is fundamentally in the staffing and in the instructions.
That's the way I want it to come out, unless they've got some awfully good reason. And if they've got some reason that I don't know about, if he has to spend most of his day taking medicine, well, I don't know about it. But what I have seen, I would put him way out in front of anything that's been suggested up to now. And we'll talk about it tomorrow.
I'll give you one more bit of trouble. I never could.
What was the first thing you were talking about? I didn't understand.
This Frankel story.
Yeah,
it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, well, what do you think happened to it?
Mr. President, you better talk to Dean Rust, because he's the only man who knows the exact history of the dispatch.
He said it came out of the channel and was brought to his office by some code man and given to his most trusted assistant, who sees everything, and they're the only ones saw it.
That is certainly the picture that we understand. My own conclusion from that is, since I think it's always most improbable that these things come from code messages, my own conclusion from that is that somehow, some other way, Lodge gave a signal of this to the Times. I don't think we can... There's a little confirmation in that his answering cable to the Secretary's request for a denial was, "We'll of course deny as you suggest," which doesn't sound as if, you know, my God, how can you people be so irresponsible, and I'll certainly deny it, and why didn't you, you know? I have a hunch that Lodge, for one reason or another, wished to be decide his own timing and decided on this, although I must say it sorts ill with his messages to us about protecting his intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other explanation that doesn't imply either that Dean Rust can't trust his assistant, which I doubt, or that there's a wiretap into his office, which I doubt, or that there's a disloyal code clerk, which again I doubt.
Well, it's something that we sure ought to be awfully careful about, because I looked today at two or three items in Newsweek, and we narrowed them down to only three people knowing them around here. They were just about as limited as they could be, and they know them.
Yeah.
I'm getting very suspicious.
Yeah.
And the hell of it is, Mac, two or three of these are just things that, that my people knew. No, Bill Moyer knew them, and Jack Valenti knew them. And the three of us, about the only ones know them, and they got them in there.
I bet you a cookie more than those three, Mr. President. It's just not possible, from what I know of your people, that they don't get trapped, and B, they don't talk.
No, that's why we think something else. I just don't know.
Something else. Something funny.
Okay.
Right, sir. Bye.